Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Welcome to Forward Thinking.
Welcome, everyone, to Forward Thinking, the podcast where we look at the future, open up our arms, and say, come here, you. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And I'm Joe McCormick.
And today we wanted to talk a little bit about holograms and kind of the misconceptions about holograms and how Hollywood has given us unrealistic expectations that we cannot help but feel should just be right around the corner, and we're always disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, where's my Leia hologram, honestly?
Leia? But, you're talking about Princess Leia.
Wait, yeah. Are there any other Leias that are critical to
holograms? I'm sure there are some people with some very nerdy parents who, yes, are named Leia.
You're correct. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to invalidate all of you Leias out there.
No. I don't want to invalidate any Leias anywhere. But I do want to talk about holograms. And, you know, do you guys remember the story about Tupac headlining over at Coachella?
Yeah,
they said it was a hologram, didn't they? Now, he was on stage with
Snoop Lion. He's now Snoop Lion.
Okay, yeah.
He used to be Snoop Dogg.
No, I understand. I know who it is.
Okay. Yeah. All right, you're looking at me like just like
I just wasn't
dead
sure
eyes.
That he, I just knew he was performing on stage with somebody.
Yeah, I didn't know who. No, he was on stage, or really an image of him was on stage. Of course, Tupac himself is sadly no longer with us.
Right.
And that, of course, was the big deal, was the fact that there was a person who was once alive and now no longer alive performing at Coachella, and it looked like kind of a hologram sort of thing, and that's what everyone called it.
Well, wait a minute. So I heard it was a hologram.
It's not.
Why not?
Because it really was just a sort of a subset of an old trick called Pepper's Ghost, which is a trick that's used by magicians. It's used in haunted houses. It's used in dark rides. And it's a way to create an illusion so that you have sort of a transparent figure that seemingly can interact with a real physical setting. And the way it works is pretty nifty. The best manifestation of this that I have seen is at the Disney ride, The Haunted Mansion. So, for you Disney fans out there who are listening to this podcast, who absolutely do not want to have the magic ruined, I will suggest that you skip ahead in this podcast because I'm going to tell you how a certain effect works, and once you know it, you can never unknow it. So, I know that some people take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. So,
and by the way, the Easter Bunny is real.
Fair enough. So you go through the Haunted Mansion ride. One of the big sequences in this ride is a ballroom where there's a giant birthday party going on. There's some ghosts dancing. There's a ghost playing a pipe organ. You see some ghosts, portraits dueling with pistols. Other ghosts appear to be circling a chandelier. A lot of stuff's happening in this one sequence.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous.
It looks great. And all the ghosts are these transparent figures that are moving around what looks like an actual three-dimensional scene. And so it's kind of, it can be a little confusing. Like, how did they do that? It's actually very simple. So the setting is real.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real table there. There's a real...
chandelier.
Chandelier, pipe organ, all these kind of things are actually there. But all the figures you see are actually just reflections. There's a pane of glass between the ride vehicles and the setting where the table is and all that. And then below you and above you on, you know, right along the same parallel as the track you are on, there are, animatronic figures that are lit so that they will reflect off the glass. The ride part that you are in is very dark, so you don't see your own reflection, or else that would ruin the illusion. There's also a scrim there that kind of cuts down on the glare so that you can't tell that there's a reflection going on. By controlling the lighting in that section above and below you, you can make the ghosts appear to fade in and fade out of existence. The brighter it is, the stronger the reflection is. The dimmer it is, the more weak the reflection. So they start to look like they are becoming more and more insubstantial as the lights mm-hmm. go down.
Right, right. The same way that if you've ever seen on TV, if they're interrogating a suspect and on one side of a one-way mirror.
Right.
And if the lights come up on the other side, then you can see who's through the other end.
Right. That's considered a bad thing, usually.
Right, yes.
Usually played to great comedic effect in things like Reno 911.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's how that illusion works, is it's just a reflection. So you've got the dark part of the ride, so you can't see your own reflection. You've got the parts that are lit up above you and below you. Those are blocked off from your view by the floor and ceiling of the actual ride track that you are on. And then you're looking into a room and seeing the reflection, and that gives you the illusion that there are ghosts wandering around. Now, in the case of Tupac, mm-hmm. Over at Coachella, it was a variant of this particular trick. And it's very similar, but it does require a slightly different setup. It's called the Musion Eyeliner, which is actually a proprietary tech. It's done by this one company.
Is that the projection or the film or both?
It's really the projection method. So okay. At the stage at Coachella, you have the stage itself where the people are all dancing around, singing and stuff. In front of the stage is a screen that's on the ground. So it's not mounted vertically. It's mounted so that it's actually on the ground itself, mm-hmm. flat against the ground. You've got a frame that's in front of the stage that supports a screen that's tilted at a 45 degree angle toward the audience. So the base of this screen, or foil, as Musion Eyeliner calls it, the base of the foil is on the edge of the stage. The top of the foil is mounted to sort of a lattice that's in front of the stage, and it's transparent, so you can see through it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're standing in front of the stage, there's just the screen that you probably aren't really noticing, particularly if it's dark. And so you can see everything that's happening on the stage just fine. Well, you've got a projector also mounted at the top of the structure that's holding the screen up. It's projecting down onto the ground. So that screen that's flat on the ground,
mm-hmm.
it projects onto that. The foil reflects that projection so that from the perspective of the audience, there appears to be a three-dimensional moving figure up there on stage that's ghostly in nature, because of course you can see through the screen, so it's sort of this transparent kind of figure that's moving around, and it can seem to move through the same physical space as the people who are actually on the stage. It's all an illusion.
But yeah, it's just a matter of perspective, right?
Right.
Now, I'd imagine if you're a performer who's up there on the stage with the image of Tupac, you're not seeing
him. You're not seeing anything.
Interacting with him.
Or maybe you're seeing a little bit of light on the screen.
Yeah, you might see the foil in front of you. You probably could see where it was being projected, but you wouldn't look to your right and suddenly see a ghostly performer standing there.
And that's one thing I think we need to keep in mind as we're going through the rest of this podcast is the idea that when we're talking about 3D imaging, it turns out most of the time what we're actually talking about is something that is going one way. It's a forced perspective. If you are sitting and looking from one direction, it appears 3D. And you wouldn't always know that, but we can get to the Hollywood misconceptions in a bit.
Well, for instance, if you were staying to the side of that stage, if you were looking at the stage from, like, you were 90 degrees off, so you're looking from the left or right side, you could see that there are people on the stage dancing. You would see that there's a screen that's tilted out toward the audience, and that's all you would see. You would not see a ghostly figure at all. You might see that there's a projector that's beaming something down, but you wouldn't be able to tell what it was. There'd be no three-dimensionality to it. And you wouldn't even know necessarily that there was the ghostly figure of Tupac Shakur dancing around on stage.
It only appears to have volume from one direction. It doesn't actually have depth.
Exactly. Yeah. You couldn't walk around it. It would only work as long as you were in the right position, which is why this works great for things like haunted houses and rides where the perspective of the person.
Perspective,
yeah. You're pretty much stuck with one point of view. You can't change that easily in most of these. And same thing with magic tricks. You know, you have designed this so that people can look at it in one particular way, and so it doesn't matter if it doesn't work any other way because no one's ever going to be in that position to see it.
So we should probably explain, if Tupac wasn't a real hologram, what is a hologram?
Okay.
When people use that word, what are we actually talking about?
So a hologram is essentially a three-dimensional representation of some sort of object. And the way it works is using one of my favorite things in the world, lasers. Or really just one laser. You use a laser and a beam splitter to split that laser beam into two. And you use mirrors to direct exactly where those beams go. And you have these two beams that perform very important functions. One of them is the object beam. Now, this is the beam that you direct, and you actually also use a lens to diffuse the light, in fact, to scan over an object, whatever the object is that you want to make a hologram of. And so that light then hits the object. Some of it gets reflected back to this holographic medium, whether it's film or some sort of digital representation.
Capture,
right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the good old days of holograms, we're talking holographic film, which is very, very sensitive. It's got very high resolution for different grades and phases of light. Your other beam is a reference beam, which reflects and then is projected directly onto the holographic film, never having encountered the object. Mm-hmm. So you've got these two different beams for reference, right? You've got the one for reference and the one of the object one. And then that ends up being the basis of the holographic image that gets captured on the film.
So what you're actually recording is the interference between these two beams, right?
Yes,
how a clean diffusion of the beam interacts with the waves of light that passed over the object.
Right. And so then what you do is once you've developed this holographic film or processed it through digital means, whatever, you have a physical representation. You've got like the picture, the holographic picture in front of you in whatever medium you've used. Usually it's clear plastic film. Then you have to use the same sort of light you used as your object beam, your reference beam, so that you can recreate that instance and get the effect. Otherwise, you're just looking at
noise signal.
Yeah,
right?
You're not looking at anything in particular. You know, it's just clear plastic film. So you illuminate with the proper type of light, and the effect is that you get a three-dimensional object that looks like it's right behind that plastic film. Like the plastic film's almost like a window, right? And that you can, it's something that you feel like you can even walk around it. And depending upon how you process the image and how you're displaying it, you might be able to walk around and see slightly different versions of that thing. Most of the time you're getting something that's always forward facing, because every single aspect of that holographic film, is captured in every piece of that holographic film. In other words, every section of that holographic film has the information of the entire picture inside of it.
Right. You can even rip a hologram in half and in each half see the exact same image.
Right. Although every time you rip it, you're going to degrade the...
Right. You're going to have the resolution.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you can also do things like take several different images, represent them as holograms, and then through the process of just moving through a space, create the illusion of movement. So in other words, there's a famous hologram where it's a woman who appears to be blowing a kiss as you walk around this. And it's done the same way you would do a hand-drawn animation. It's just a series of these photos done as holograms, and as you move through the space, it seems to move. But that's all it can do. Like, you can make the image appear to blow a kiss, or catch a kiss and shove it into the lips. I mean,
take a kiss back.
Those are your two choices. Yeah, I always walked in the wrong way.
No kiss for you.
No, so lonely. But yeah, that's your basic hologram. I mean, that's the thing, is that that's what a hologram is. You're using these lasers to really to explore through light the dimensions of an object, and then capture that in some medium. That's all a hologram really is. Whereas what we're kind of used to thinking of as holograms isn't necessarily that. I mean, it's almost more of a problem of vocabulary than anything else.
Right. I mean, people use the word hologram when really I think what they're talking about is pretty much any kind of 3D imagery or 3D
right.
projection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there are other means of 3D projection that have nothing to do with holograms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to use the laser beams or splitters or anything like that in order to generate the effect. The Pepper's Ghost one is a great example. There are no lasers involved in that. I mean, I guess you could throw lasers in there if you wanted to, but there's no reason for them.
Mm-hmm. But with the Pepper's Ghost, I mean, in that instance, there's actually nothing even 3D about the image, right? It just appears to...
Right. You're looking at a reflection, but then there's nothing 3D about a reflection either. I mean, that's the way Pepper's Ghost works. It's the way where a lot of holograms work. When you look into a reflection and you see a reflection of yourself, there's that illusion of depth. There's an illusion that light is coming at you, even though it's just really bouncing off
the
mirror.
It's just refracting off of various surfaces that make it seem as though.
Right. Well, what I'm talking about is for the viewer. So if you look at a Pepper's Ghost projection and you move around to the left or right of your position, it's just a
reflection.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just a reflection. You're just going to be moving around. It's not going to appear as a 3D object would.
Which is why they force your point of view in most of these instances of Pepper's Ghost. They don't want you to, if you were to move to the side, you would just see that there's a pane of glass between people and a thing.
Right, but there are ways to create that 3D illusion, right?
Yeah.
To actually make, so, you know, I'm looking dead on, and if I move my head over to the left, I see a little bit more to the left of the supposed image.
Yeah.
And it simulates the effect of 3D volume, even though we're still just looking at a projection coming from a screen.
There's volumetric display. And volumetric display is this idea that you use a three-dimensional display as opposed to the planar displays, P-L-A-N-A-R, displays that we're used to. That's, you know, something you would have on your computer or your television or movie screen or whatever. This would be a display that itself has three dimensions. And so you would project things on it. It would essentially still be two-dimensional projections on a three-dimensional object, but that would give it the three-dimensionality.
It's kind of cheating.
It is cheating. It's exactly cheating. And we've talked about the possibility of using things like mist or fog to project things on, but again, we can't tell the projection, hey, I want you to hit this one particle that's floating, this bit of particulate matter that's floating in the air, but don't hit the ones that are in front of it because I need you to simulate depth. You can't really do that, but
we can't yet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea of projecting into a fog or suspended mist is interesting, but we're not there yet in terms of really creating something that has a convincing volume to it.
Right.
Because the specificity of our projection is not anywhere near that level.
And controlling something like a fog or mist in a way where it doesn't reveal to the viewer that's what it is tricky as well. I will say that there was another Disney ride that I loved very much. What's that? Disneyland.
The flying elephants?
That was what I loved when I was a kid.
Spinning teacups.
I don't like waiting 3 hours to ride on it now. No, spinning teacups, awesome ride. Fantastic. Don't ride that more than 3 times in a row, people. I speak from experience. No, I'm talking about the Indiana Jones ride, which is at Disneyland, not at Disney World. And at Disneyland, one part of the ride, it involves going through this dark tunnel. And at the end of the dark tunnel is a wall, and on that wall are all these rats crawling across it. And the vehicle you're on is going very quickly towards that wall, and you're thinking, oh, I'm gonna turn at the last second, that'll be exciting. But instead you go through it. And when you go through it, you realize that the whole thing was a projection that was done on mist. Now, since then, they've done similar things with the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, where they'll project, like, Davy Jones's face on mist before you go through it. But that was the first time I'd ever experienced that effect. And the particular day I went, it was working really well. Mm-hmm. So I was genuinely surprised when it happened.
And, though we should say that effect is 2D projection.
It was 2D projection. It was in the dark. Mm-hmm. And it was fast, because I was on a fast-moving ride. So you're not going, you know, you don't have a long enough moment to sit there and really
evaluate.
Exactly. Right. All you see is, rats! Boom. Wow, that was cool. That's about how fast it went.
Mm-hmm. So this brings us to something that we wanted to talk about, which is the misconceptions that we get when our ideas are fed by Hollywood.
Right, the whole Star Wars Princess Leia hologram.
Right, and I was actually trying to figure out why, when I started doing research for this, holograms, you know, the 3D projections and holograms that I was finding, even the state-of-the-art ones, were nothing like the idea I had as just a kind of a shallow consumer of science fiction.
Right.
And I think that's because the movies do not effectively communicate the idea that, as far as we know, 3D imaging is really shackled to screens.
Yeah, to some form of actual physical medium. That you can't just project light into an open space
yeah.
and have it mm-hmm. be coherent in any way.
Until we have a transparent nanobot army that we can use right. to reflect images off of.
But it's true. I mean,
which we don't even need to reflect at that point. The nanobots themselves just take on whatever color they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they're nanobots, they're already got an amazing resolution. So really, they just form whatever.
Yeah.
I like your idea.
That's, what, 20 years away?
Yeah, it's always 20 to 30 to 50 years away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, so we can think of a few in the movies. I mean, there's tons of these things, but if you think of in Star Wars, like you mentioned earlier, Lauren, Princess Leia.
Or mm-hmm. the chess set.
Yeah,
sure,
anything.
Sure.
These are they're
it
things
seems to
that
have
are
a little base and then mm-hmm. coming up out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And it seemed, well, what it is the thing that's amazing about it is the full simulation of volume from every angle.
Right.
Not attached to a screen.
Right. Right. So in other words,
so it's not taking advantage of your perspective.
Right. You could walk around this thing and see it from any angle and it would be as if there were an actual person or thing in the room with you, not just a projection. So, it seems to have all the qualities of an actual real object. It's one made out of light.
But mm-hmm. there are some obvious problems with this. I mean, we can project images that appear 3D from a certain perspective, but, you can't just project something into thin air and then make it stop.
Yeah.
Right here.
If we could control light like that, then lightsabers would be a thing.
Right.
It's the same problem with lightsabers, right? How do you turn on a lightsaber and have the light stop?
Right.
At saber length, as opposed to just being a really destructive flashlight. You know? I mean, that's the same sort of problem. Or the laser, if you prefer. It'd be a laser gun, but with a lightsaber handle instead of a gun handle. Now, in the world of Star Wars, we can explain it by saying magic. Because, come on, that's really what Star Wars is.
Yeah,
but there are other instances of this. I mean, I was mentioning before the show, Bones, the television series Bones.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a forensic procedural kind of show. And in almost every episode, at some point, they have they go and look at this holographic display, which is this three-dimensional display that shows whatever they need to look at in all dimensions. They can manipulate in any way, and it's within their actual physical space.
I've never seen it, so it's like fully with volume, and they can
it's like a giant like fish tank of a hologram that they can just go up to, and you know the characters are standing all around it, and you can see straight through this image to the other people behind it, and everyone is seeing the same, is rotating around it.
Well, I think that might be more feasible than the Princess Leia thing.
Right, because you've got a contained...
Right, if you've got a container with like glass on all sides, then I think in that case, with some really advanced projection technology and resolution, it might be possible to say, well, we can contain the illusion of an image within this glass area.
Right.
And if, especially if it were, you know, maybe not quite cylindrical, but many-sided, you could project a slightly different image onto each pane of glass.
Sure.
And create the illusion that you're going all the way around an object.
Yeah. Right. Right. In person, if you were to walk around it, it would not look nearly as impressive as the depiction in the television series. But then again, you know, everything's heightened for entertainment. I mean, we understand
right,
that, but it's again another sort of misrepresentation of what 3D imaging really is.
Well, and clearly they've been doing this for a while. I mean, we mentioned Star Wars, and that was the 70s,
1977.
Yeah, and then you see going through when was Total Recall made? It was like 1990 80, or
like
something.
2011, right? That was came right out.
The original one with Arnold.
Right.
The one with Arnold.
I can't believe that people defend the original. Okay.
Oh, we're about to fight. The original
Save it for
one
after the show.
The original one with Arnold. They've got a hologram in that movie, right? A quote unquote hologram.
Right.
So the but it just walks around with everybody.
Well, in the series of in the British comedy series Red Dwarf, one of the main characters is a hologram, although that's simply played by an actor who's really moving around in the space, and then only occasionally does stuff move through him where they, you know, have to shoot some sort of effect so that...
Right. Or the doctor on Voyager.
Yeah.
Holographic medical...
And none of these rely on screens in the way that every hologram would.
Exactly. There's some form of coherent light
By Star Trek, you've got the idea of the holodeck where you're in this four-dimensional holographic environment that, you know.
But they also have replicators, so they can make whatever they need.
Yeah.
It's a true fact.
It's funny how much we want this because people, I keep seeing online how everybody keeps announcing, now we've got the full Princess Leia hologram.
Right,
you know, it's right around the corner.
There's new news. It's like, no, this one for reals, guys.
They keep promising what we're seeing in the movies, and then you look into it, and it's like somebody overhyped this. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about in each case is still just like, this is a sort of better hologram than the one before, or hologram.
Right,
they use the word
3D. It's a fancier screen.
Uh-huh.
Or
I was looking at this one in The Guardian. The headline is Princess Leia hologram could become a reality, and it's talking about something they're doing at Hewlett-Packard Labs. And I don't mean to downplay their achievement at all. I mean,
it's really cool.
Yeah, they have created an amazing screen for simulating really, really good 3D, and you can move your head all around it. It's got a lot of range of vision, you know. You can go in that almost full semicircle around the screen to see it. And so I don't mean to downplay at all what they've done, but it's not print. I mean, it's still a screen.
Right. Yeah, I think we're probably limited by screens for the foreseeable future. I mean, not to say that someone won't someday figure out ways of telling light who's the boss and maybe projecting a three-dimensional, you know, entertainment right there in your room. Perhaps an episode of Who's the Boss? I'm sorry. I was waiting. Joe just stared at me in shell-shocked horror, and Lauren's just snickering.
Just like the
Angela,
the
right, Samantha.
Horrible, painful setup of that went so long.
That's my gig, man. That's my gig. I do long setups.
And then we sit here and
no
talk
payoff.
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And then we podcast about it. It's awesome. No, it's, I think all of that's, you know, really relevant information. I mean, the idea that since we already have the preconceived notion that this is where we're headed, the Princess Leia hologram, whatever you want to call it, then it's understandable that that's how people report on it because it immediately conveys information to the reader because
that's
one of those touchstones that most people are familiar with. I do wish they would come up with a different term, although we also have to admit the fact that language is plastic. It's flexible. And sometimes words eventually start to mean things that they did not originally mean. So I suspect, knowing the way people work, that hologram essentially will be you know, it's already colloquially used for 3D projection, but it's going to just, that's just going to be the name, the meaning of the word.
Well, just listen to how we've been using it now, even though we like just made the distinction. I mean,
well, it's because that's what everyone calls it. Not that I'm not saying it because that's what I think it is. I'm saying it because
it's okay, Jonathan.
Look, I'm speaking to the people using the language they use. I don't want to lose folks after my Who's the Boss chat.
Yeah, I support you.
Okay, good. All right. Well, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to wrap this up because I have the power to do that. This is a fun discussion, though. Holograms, it's really one of those interesting things. There's a great article on the How Stuff Works site about how holograms work, which really goes into amazing detail about how the light interacts to create this illusion of a 3D image. And how your brain picks up some of the work. Tracy Wilson wrote it, and it gets
really deep into the physics if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, it nearly broke her. I remember when she was writing it. It was one of the ones that was. There are a couple of articles on that site that were particularly difficult, and that was one of them. But it's really well done. She did a great job. So I highly recommend checking that out. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, we have an email address. That's fwthinking@discovery.com. You can go to fwthinking.com and check out all of the blogs, the podcasts, the video episodes. They're all up there. You can find links to our social media. So you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook or Google Plus. And get in touch with us. Let us know what interests you about the future. What has you excited? What points do you want us to cover? We're really eager to hear from you, and we look forward to talking to you again really soon.
For more on this topic and the future of technology, visit forwardthinking.com. Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badeda. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.